Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
Yes, sing it, Sean.
We are the cheeky girls. We are the cheeky girls. You are the cheeky boys.
You are the cheeky.
Wasn't there, stop. There was a festive version.
Touch my bum.
Don't be shy. This is why. Cheeky, cheeky.
Like, I don't know, there's nothing we need more on this earth at this time than more cheeky girls content.
There was a festive
There's been
version.
A lack.
A cheeky Christmas, it was called.
Was there?
I presume it was just the same song, slightly with sleigh bells.
I think you had a
touch my tinsel or something. Wasn't one of the cheeky
have
girls?
Have a cheeky Christmas, yeah. Oh, this is their other song.
Let's get cheeky.
Like,
you're nodding your head.
I am prepared to play that on the radio next week if everyone's with me.
Oh, my sister's ringing me.
Right. I am not.
Sean's with me. Emer's not with me. Fair enough.
One of the cheeky girls was married to someone.
Can I ring you back in a second?
Put your sister on loudspeaker immediately.
I'll ring you back in 2 minutes. I'm just recording a podcast.
Oh, get on the podcast, Sean's right. Sister. Is that Sean's sister that helps Maria's... Is that Sean's sister that helps Maria's dad choose his breakfast?
No, it's the one who just had a baby.
Baby Nia. Aww.
Yeah. That's weird. She never rings me, so... She started asking me, I'll guess and I'll report back in next week's podcast.
Okay.
She's either ringing me to do a favor for her because I'm home the weekend or to ask me a question about a Christmas present for her husband. I would imagine.
Maybe the favor and the present are combined.
Yeah.
Probably.
Have you any ideas and could you pick up whatever your ideas are and bring them down?
That's probably it. Yeah.
That's a standard sister-brother phone call. Like, it's only ever for really favours.
Well, my brother's in the Lebanon at the minute and I have to do all the Christmas shopping and it's really awkward because I want to text him and ask him for money. So,
can you text him when he's in the Lebanon?
Yeah.
And he's on service and all that.
Yeah.
He's obviously...
Does he have a phone?
His army.
His phone. That's all I can say.
Are we allowed to say that on air?
I think so.
Yeah, sure. Everyone's allowed to have a phone.
Yeah.
Right, this is the podcast. Dermot and Dave, Best Of, Dermot and Dave from during the week. All of the mess and none of the music. There's a chap called Donal who ended up with a seagull on his head. Sean wrote down pigeon on his head because he's forgotten what type of bird it was. But it was a seagull. Somebody else obviously was onto us who tried Dermot's dishwasher hack, Sinead. It didn't work. Because it's not going to work. Because it's a hack from Dermot. I don't know why anybody thinks it's going to work. We did have a lot of people on telling us about their car disaster stories after a woman's daughter ran her bicycle into her neighbour's car. But then we got onto the woman who lied to her husband because she'd gone Christmas shopping or New Year's sales shopping. Told her husband that she wasn't doing that. And then he had a call from the guards about the car. It's an unbelievable story. Noni has a Christmas song that you will not believe. The video's doing the rounds on social media, but you've got to hear that. And no Best Of podcast would be complete without bad jokes. So they'll be in there as well. And if you ever have a bad joke, you can get me, Dave Today FM, on social media. Send me a bad joke as soon as you can. And I'll hopefully lash it out next week. One more cheeky girls before we go.
We are the cheeky girls. We are the cheeky girls. You are the cheeky boys. You are the cheeky boys.
Remember Last Ketchup?
Yes.
Last Ketchup.
Do you remember the dance?
No.
They
had a festive version as well. They had a festive version as well of that song.
Of Last Ketchup.
That's cranberry sauce.
And on that note, enjoy the podcast.
I had a great time in Thomond Park over the weekend.
We
managed to make it down for the Saracens game. Yeah, pretty ugly match in the second half, but sure, the rain, it just started lamping down rain.
But you won.
We won, yeah. No, it's good. No, good result, yeah. But it was great to be there. And hi to the lads from Seven Sins Wings and Burgers who were sitting in front of me at the match and who handed me back their card. Which was a half-filled loyalty card. So thank you for that, guys.
Slightly disappointed they didn't hand you back either wings or burgers.
Buy me a drink, actually.
Okay.
Which was unnecessary, but I'm very grateful. But yeah, they also gave me a half-filled out loyalty card.
Which means that you can soon get a free portion of wings if you keep going back to Munster games. There's a story that we just saw and could not believe. It's all to do with a chap called Donal Norton, who's from Meath and did a good deed over the weekend. Donal, how are you?
Question one.
Is this really happening?
Yes, you are on the Dermot and Dave show on Today FM.
You're telling me you had wings at the weekend and so did I, only you enjoyed yours. Is that it?
Yeah. So tell everybody what happened. Was it on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
Okay, so where were you and what was going on?
It'd be really awkward if I said no now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It'd be a short conversation. So did this all take place in your garden shed?
No, it didn't. No. Somebody out on the road hit the seagull. A seagull. Get a picture. It's a baby seagull, but it's quite big baby seagull, as I found out later.
Yeah.
And somebody had... somebody had fired a snack box out onto the road, and the bird was eating the snack box, apparently, and then a car hit him.
Right.
And then a woman picked up the bird, and then she sort of went, what do I do with it? And I was the idiot who went, I know... Actually, I don't know, but I'll do something with it.
So what did you do?
Well, you see, this is it. Now, look, before we start this conversation, just in case you think I'm one of these people who goes around saving the planet or saving birds and saving animals, I don't.
Well, you did.
And I had the most awkward conversation in my head over the next 5 minutes. Because I was nursing this bird back to life, right? And I was like struggling, going, oh, look, you're going to be fine. You're going to be absolutely fine. Then the back of my head realized, do you realize that you were on your way down the town to put a deposit on the Christmas turkey?
One of his friends.
Yeah, we're going to eat your distant cousin.
It gets worse. I'm having this argument in my head going, you're a bad man. You're going to hell. And as I'm petting him and he's starting to come around, then I realized, yeah, I'm going to get a pre-stuffed one.
Right, well, tell us about the seagull. At what point did he start to come back? And
well, he started to come back and I said, right, it was getting dark and I was going, look, I'm not going to leave you sort of hanging around out here because anything could happen to you. And he wasn't really sort of, he'd come around, but he wasn't really on his own feet. So I said, right, I'll bring him into the shed. And I had him in a box and I have a Jeep in the shed and I put the box on the... I said, if I put the box on the bonnet of the Jeep, it'll be warmer and that'll sort of... might help.
Mm.
And then he hopped out of the box and landed on my shoulder. And I'm like going, oh, wow, I'm sorted for Halloween next year. Pirates of the Caribbean,
yeah.
There we go. All I have to do now is just lose this leg and get a hook handle and I'm in business. Could be hard for answering the phone, but anyway... that was fine for about 5 minutes, and then he had the right idea going, I guarantee I could make it to the top of your head. And that's exactly what he did. And that was a unique novelty for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 10 minutes. And then it was I'm still dying of the man flu. I'm just the other side of it. And that was possibly the reason why I picked up the bird in the first place, because I could say to the bird, you think you're bad, you got hit by a car, I got man flu.
Now, could you take him off your head?
No.
Why?
Absolutely not. There's videos on my Facebook, you'll see. If I move my head one direction, he sort of, it was like Pele on a football. He was just, he was ninja on staying on
the... Okay. So he'd freak out if you tried to move him off your head.
Exactly, yeah. Well, freak out from one end of him, and it wasn't his front end.
Oh, no.
So that was all landed on you.
Of that as well, yeah. Oh, there's great videos of that as well. See, what I was doing was, like, I was starting to panic at that stage, because,
yeah.
You're like, how many times have you been in this situation? Oh, no, not another seagull stuck at me head. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll Google this one.
Well, the number one thing you'll do, which is what Ivan and everyone else has been tweeting in about this since we said you were coming on,
is... by the way, my name is not Cliff.
There you go. You change your name to Cliff.
Yeah.
So how long was he on your head for?
Over 3 hours.
What?
Yes! That's what I mean. I videoed this. I didn't video it as going, oh, look at me, am I great? There were genuine videos of, help, I'm worried about this board, I'm worried about my head, I'm worried about my jacket, I'm worried about life in general at this stage.
Now, what's it like in turn? Because, like, people are quite afraid of seagulls because obviously they like to scavenge out of whatever you've got in your hands. And I know Dermot is plagued by them where he lives and he gives out about them all the time. Like, what's it like having, because they're big birds sitting on your head.
Yeah, you see, I only realised that when somebody sent me a picture later. I was like, because at the time I was thinking, like, you know these devices the Formula One drivers use around their necks, the hands device, I was thinking I could do with one of them because my neck was absolutely killing me.
Right.
But if I moved in one direction, the board would sort of move, reciprocating in another direction, and would balance up. So it was like being at the circus, only looking in the mirror.
How did you eventually get them off your head?
Well, that was it. Eventually, a call came in from Birdwatch.
Birdwatch Ireland?
Yeah, Birdwatch Ireland. That call was about... Oh, God. I actually had to FaceTime because they wouldn't believe it. They're going, yeah, you've got a board stuck in your head and your name's Cliff. No, I'm serious. I go, do you have FaceTime? Do you? Right, okay. There what? You go. I even at one stage rang my doctor.
What was he going to do for you?
I've no idea, but nobody else was doing. I had three vets who were friends, and all they did was make jokes. One of them actually named him.
What?
I was going to call him. It's got like it could be him or her. So let's go sort of Stevie in the middle. So it could be Stevie Nicks or Stevie Wonder. And he went, "Oh no, you have to call him Stephen." So why Stephen Seagull?
No surprise, are your mates.
So where's Stephen now?
I just gave him his breakfast and he went back in underneath my Jeep.
Is that where he is right now?
Yeah, literally. I put up a video there about 10 minutes ago of him sort of having his breakfast and then wandering back in under the Jeep.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to fly today because I bought him a ticket on Ryanair.
Fair play to you, Donald.
Man, you should take over Dave's bad jokes on a Tuesday.
Donald, listen.
It's one of Dave's bad jokes, so thanks very much, Dave.
I'm sorry that you ended up with Stephen Seagull stuck to your head, but it's provided us with all manner of enjoyment this morning. And fair play to you for looking after the animal.
Yeah, well, didn't I know that when it was all happening that this is going, everyone is going to love this? Except one person on the planet. Who is the seagull?
If anyone wants to have a look at Donal with a seagull stuck to his head, all the pictures and everything and links to Donal's Facebook and everything else are up on todayfm.com. You can go and have a look now. Fair play to you, Donal.
You have a wonderful day today.
Right. You do. Try not to get a seagull stuck to your head. But see you later. Bye.
See, a snack box can do strange things to even birds, you know? We've all acted foolishly after a snack box.
Well, he wasn't a 3-in-1. He would never leave.
Well, me and Dave were just saying disgusting things to just annoy everyone else in the studio. But we were talking about having babies and being dads and all that. And there's certain things about babies that is easy to handle and hard to handle. And certainly one of the things that I could not cope with was the little bit of the umbilical cord. You know that bit?
Yeah, and it's clasped with the thing that usually clasps the Rice Krispies bag with.
Anything where someone has to, the only solution offered is you just have to wait for it to fall off. Like, that is not acceptable, okay?
That's an orchard. Look at it that way. It's beauty in nature. When it's ready, it falls off. And our Sean Reedy has been investigating since the big news yesterday that Electric Picnic sold out. That's it, it's done. Electric Picnic 2020 is sold out.
Before we even know anyone who's on the bill. But 15 years into its existence, it's starting to get a new look. Ain't that right, Sean?
Yeah, so it's going to change for 2020, right? And I suppose the biggest change for next year, well, there's two huge changes that are coming next year, right? The first is the increase in capacity. So it was a festival that was once, I think when it originally started, it only had 30,000 people.
Okay.
It then went up, or 12. Okay. 10. Then it went up to 30. Now it's got, then it went up to 50. Now it's going up to 70,000 next year.
Anyone would swear they were trying to make money.
Yeah, they're trying.
How dare they?
So is this a physical, they'll increase the physical space to accommodate, because that's like, to go from 50 last year to 20 to 70 next year is a massive increase. So,
well, there was only a slight increase last year, went from 50 to 55. And I think anyone who went to Electric Picnic saw that the festival space was completely not overcrowded, but you could notice the extra people.
Do you not think that was because I was doing the cheesy DJ set at the FM Soundgarden and 5,000 more people showed up? I'm pretty confident that's what it was.
I would say that. So effectively what people saw last year is that the festival space had changed a lot. They added a new area in there called Freetown, and it just became way bigger, and I think everyone knew that although it was amazing and it was a great weekend and everything ran really smoothly, that if they want to continue to grow, changes would have to be made. So when they opened Freetown last year, I got to chat to the festival director, Melvin Benn, and he spoke to me about Freetown opening, but also that change has always been a part of the festival and that they will continue to change it going forward.
Well, it's because I wanted to create Freetown, and I wanted Freetown to be part of the arena. It makes the whole thing bigger in terms of what the arena entertainment is, and that's very much what I wanted it to be. I think it'll run very much, very much as it did last year. We had a terrific year, with festival traffic last year, and I've got no reason to think that there'll be any change. Change always has consequences, and I think what we're doing at Freetown is a real positive change for the electric picnic, and people I think will become familiar with it and accept it, and I'm very much looking at the positives of it all, really.
Melvin Benn, of course, the man who created the electric picnic, but also stood up in front of a room full of people to congratulate the person who was instrumental in creating electric picnic 2018. Yep. That was Sean Reedy.
Yeah, that was me.
It wasn't Sean Reedy, but he thought it was Sean Reedy and made everyone applaud Sean. He was like, I had nothing to do with this.
But there's a big change in terms of an area that just ain't there anymore.
Yeah, so anyone who's been to the Electric Picnic, probably the heart of the festival once the main stage finishes at night is Body and Soul. It started, obviously Body and Soul has gone on to be a huge independent festival itself, and they had a space within Electric Picnic. And yesterday they announced that they are going to, so the organisers behind Body and Soul have said they're stepping back to refocus the attention on their independent festival, which has been running for the last 10 years in Westmead. So Body and Soul, the area in Electric Picnic, is not going to be there next year. Now, Body and Soul isn't going to be there, but the space will now hold a new area called Mind and Body in 2020.
So their body's still being looked after, but they've moved from souls to minds.
Yeah, so basically the area where it is, where it was, is going to have a new look, new dynamic. The Jerry Fish tent, which was quite popular, again, after the main stage ended, they're making that into a bigger area, making that more of a stage, creating more of an atmosphere around that, making more of a mind and body center.
And did we hear that was going to be called Fishy Town?
Fishtown.
Okay.
Fishtown is better if Melvin Benn is listening. So, but obviously the fact that this is happening hasn't deterred people, because 70,000 tickets sold out yesterday.
God,
so
incredible.
They went on sale, and within 3 hours, now this is, so obviously after Electric Picnic every year, the people who went can go on the week after and rebuy tickets for the following year. And then every year before Christmas, they release the fresh batch of tickets for the next year. This year they had an additional 20,000 tickets on there, and it all sold out within 3 hours. So obviously the fact that Body and Soul is not going to be a part of this festival next year has not deterred people, because 70,000 are gone, and people don't even know when the acts are going to be announced, because it's not going to be announced until March. They always announce it mid-March, before the summer starts, before the festival season starts. So people are just buying it for the atmosphere. And I think Emer from our team has been going for the last, I would say, guts of 10 years anyway, and she will tell you the festival has changed a lot over the last couple of years. A lot of people would say it's become very commercial, it's become, you know, the acts are become very mainstream, but that actually isn't the case. It's one of those festivals, kind of like Glastonbury. It has modernized, it has become commercial. You see the new big vaping tents there and the new big Heineken sound stages that are really like something you would have seen at Oxygen back in the day. But it's the likes of Body and Soul and Fishtown and Freetown, they still have these amazing spaces to just go see really cool music, really cool bands, and it still has that charm of a festival like Glastonbury all these years later.
Sean, part of, you know, being an Irish person is dissing anything that becomes successful. So we should laud the days back in the early noughties when it was a real true boutique festival, and everyone was just 34 and it was perfect.
Yeah.
But actually, the music wasn't too loud and you didn't have to queue for anything, and everyone hugged all the time.
Someone has just texted and says, it's just another festival now. The old picnic is long gone. It's a shame, really.
Yeah, but there are so many other boutique-y festivals, including Body and Soul, around the country that you can take your pick. If boutique is what you want.
And this must be the biggest festival. 70,000. There's nothing as big as this. So therefore, this is going to be the one that's the most populated, most commercialised, most everything. And that's great.
Of course.
Otherwise, you're not going to get the massive acts coming into it.
Well, like, look, at the end of the day, it's a business. Whether people like it or not, Electric Picnic are out there to make money. They're a business. They're going to get the commercial bands. I hate to break it to you. I was looking online before the show about potential headliners for this year. And one of the people who's on the festival circuit next year who could be a Electric Picnic headliner, the Originals will squee at this, or not squee, will hate this, sorry. Taylor Swift is doing a festival circuit next year, so she's one of the tipped headliners for Electric Picnic. Right, but look, I know that that is out there, but they still do stay very much true to their roots. They have the Rave in the Woods that's been there since the very start. They have these small stages that you can go out and see really good Irish music. And Edith Bowman, remember she was in here a few months back. She said the same has happened with Glastonbury. You have your main stage, that's commercial, that's to get the money in, but you still have places where you can go and watch good music. And I know Emer from our show, she's very much into her music and going and seeing really cool stuff at festivals. And even up to last year, she was able to do that. So the fact that the Body and Soul area is going, it's obviously going to be a big change, but I think part and parcel of like a music festival or any event evolving is some stuff come in and some stuff will leave, and it'll make, you know, at the end of the day, when you're down there in a field and it's really hot and you're drinking your cans, do you really care? No.
Well, you know, if Electric Picnic don't have sort of the big names like Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish or whoever, like where else are we going to see them in a festival setting?
Yeah.
It has just morphed into that where it's catering for more mainstream acts, but it also still caters for, you know, indie bands from the 90s that I happen to like.
Yeah.
You can still see them all there. So to kind of say, well, it's too commercial now, they just, their acts are all too commercial. Well, where else are we going to see them? There is no Oxygen. There is no other big festival that's going to put these things on. And because we have so many festivals, if you're into your 80s music, you can go to that one. If you're into the more slightly indie alternative stuff, there's another festival for that.
That's
so
the thing. This is the choice now.
It filled the gap. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with seeing Taylor Swift on a main stage, but then seeing the Happy Mondays on another one. I think that's all right.
Yeah, and like, look, it's Body and Soul, the festival itself, they're focused on being a small Irish festival that focuses on indie music and creating, I suppose, good vibes. And like, if you want to go, if you're into that, you still have the Body and Soul. The area is not going to be there this year, 2020, but there will be a Mind and Body area at Electric Picnic.
Sure,
and 70,000 people are going, so, you know, 70,000 people aren't deterred by it anyway.
Yeah, there's Independence, there's Sea Sessions, there's so many amazing festivals around the country that cater for the other stuff. And let's get the biggest acts we can into Electric Picnic, because it is the biggest festival.
What do you think? Any comments? Do you wish it was 2006 again, when it was just you and three other people and one member of Depeche Mode?
Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
But they're not my jokes, they're your jokes. You've been sending them into me all week. And the first joke today is from musician Jake Carter.
No way.
Oh, thanks, cool. Jake.
Hey, Jake.
What do we want? Hearing aids. When do we want them? Hearing aids.
Go on, Jake.
I like doing a kids one every now and again, but Dermot gives out sometimes, says you can't laugh, you can't slag off the kids if they're not funny. This one's funny and you won't have to slag them off. It's from Nino, who's 7. And she says, what does a ballerina call her poo? A number tutu.
Yes, Nino.
John says, when I realised they found a cure for dyslexia, it was like music to my arse. Damon says, I walked into some water and my cough and cold disappeared instantly. It was a vitamin C.
Not getting that one.
Patter says, my neighbour rang on my doorbell at 3 a.m. Can you believe it? I mean, luckily I was still up playing drums. Shaman says, my girlfriend likes to tie me to the bed and cover me in chocolate and caramel. She's a dominatrix.
I'd actually die laughing at that one. That is terrible.
It is terrible. Dee says, sadly I've gone bald, but I've kept my comb. I just can't part with it. Hair loss jokes. No.
An awful joke.
No laughing matter.
No.
Okay.
Kieran said this one. He says, my wife just gave birth today, and after thanking the doctor, I quietly asked him, you know, how soon do you think we could, you know, make love? And he goes, Well, I'm off duty in 10 minutes. Meet me in the car park.
Such a dad joke.
That's funny.
Sarah says, I want to be cremated. This is my last hope for a smoking hot body. Dan says, on a date, on a date which is going badly. She says, I thought you said you were interesting. And he says, no, I said I'm into resting.
No.
No.
Interesting. So good.
You laughing on your own is funnier than a joke.
Tony says, the last time I saw Cillian Murphy act on TV, I thought he played a blinder.
Hey! That's good.
Miko says, you call it really bad at darts. I call it freestyle acupuncture. Kelly wants to know, what program do the Jedi use to open PDF files? Adobe One, Kenobi. A couple of Christmas ones to end. Joe says, my father's doing DJ at the Toyota Christmas party this year. He's calling himself Calvin Yaris.
That is funny.
Alan says, Christmas has been ruined, guys, ruined. Chris Rea's car has failed to pass its NCT.
He won't be driving home for Christmas.
And Jenny says, my Christmas lights have stopped working. No, they haven't. Yes, they have. No, they haven't. Yes, they haven't. Fiona is in Cork and she has something to tell us about. Fiona, good morning.
Hi, Ned. How are you?
We're great. Yeah. What's going on? Has tragedy struck?
Tragedy struck. Oh, it's been all about the cars this week, lads.
What happened?
Well, I met one of my neighbours and my daughter was after cycling down the hill there. Unfortunately, they live at the bottom of a hill. And my daughter was out cycling on the road and she lost control of her bike. And they have two cars in the driveway. They have an older car and a fancy new shiny white car. And of course, she went into the shiny white car, lost control of her bike.
And did she damage the car, the shiny white one?
It's a tiny little scrape, but it's a shiny new car.
Yeah. So just enough to annoy you. You'd be raging. You'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. And then you go inside to your house, you'd be like, that stupid child.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That was the impression I got. He was smiling, but he was...
Smiling, but raging.
Yeah.
What age is your daughter?
She's six.
Six. You see, I was going to say, if she was 16, you'd be kind of like, you irresponsible teenager. But she's surely learning to cycle at six.
This is it, and she's normally very good. Like, she, you know, even when she's wobbling on her bike, she always manages to magically miss cars. But I was attracted towards the pretty, fancy white car, you know.
Well, my kids have all done that, and you know exactly that age when they're learning to cycle, they're quite wobbly, and they sort of use the cars as little... things to balance off. And one of my kids absolutely destroyed my brother-in-law's car when he parked in the driveway one day. Just the handle of the bike just kept scratching his car up and down every time they went up and down. So he came out and it looked like someone had taken a cheese grater to it.
The kids did it more than once.
Yeah, because they kept just using it to balance, and the rubber on the grip on the handlebar had worn away, so it was just metal on metal. It wasn't just a nick, it was like effectively a work of art. Now, I offered to pay for the whole thing and get it resprayed, but he was like, oh, don't worry about it, as he drove off crying.
Yeah, he hasn't spoken to Dermot since. So what have you done in the meantime? Have you kind of, is there any resolution to this or what?
So the first thing I did when I found out was I texted you guys straight away.
Yeah.
And the second thing I did then was I rang my mum. And she kind of said, look, pop over with a bottle of wine or something. But I decided to use it as a sort of a kind of a lesson to kind of, first of all, get her to tell me the truth. And when she came home, when I collected her from school, I brought her over and I was like, what's the story? What happened? And she kind of started to deny it. And then she got upset and admitted that she did it. And then I said, okay, come on, we need to go and get them something nice to say sorry. So we went down to the shop and bought them a bunch of flowers and a box of biscuits.
About the same price as a respray, I'd say, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm kind of hoping that that's enough. But I'm glad you guys called me, because maybe yourself or your listeners might have a better suggestion or something.
So would you like to know if our listeners have any better ideas to how you could sort of make peace rather than a box of biscuits.
Or maybe if they think that's enough, that'll be great as well.
Yeah,
I know the answer you want to hear. I'm not suggesting you're going to get it though, Fiona. That's the thing.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. But
should just go over with a piece of sandpaper and try and sand it out yourself.
And a small mallet.
Or you could get your neighbour to come over and scratch your daughter's bike and get her back. That's what I would do.
Over with the bike and say, come on now, come on, look, this is what happened.
Yeah, he could just drive his car over the bike.
Seems a little extreme, I'll be honest.
Okay, well, listen, thank you so much. We'll put it out there and see if you've done enough with some biscuits.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Come here, lads, while I have you. I met you before. I just wanted to bring it up again because it was just the funniest.
Did we have our clothes on? That's important.
What's that?
Did we have our clothes on?
You had your clothes.
Okay, that's good.
Scratch your car.
We don't have to hang up, so.
Either. Okay. I met you down in North E Cork. I just wanted to bring it up again because it was just so funny. You came in with a gym bag full of cosmetics.
Dermot came in with a gym bag full of cosmetics. Yeah.
Homemade cosmetics.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was like Dermot came on with the bag of cosmetics. You were saying that your wife was spending too much on cosmetics and that you could make them yourself.
Yeah.
And you actually gave me a little bottle as a present of some lavender infused face serum.
Oh, yes. Wow. One of my favourites. And was it any good? Did you use it?
Oh, I did. I loved it. It's all gone now, unfortunately, but I cherished it. But it was just so funny, the two of you. Like, you went out and you had all your wares inside the gym bag. Like,
again, just Dermot. I need to stress this, Fiona. I just rocked up with my phone in my pocket, to be honest with you.
Well, this is it, Dave. You were actually kind of standing at the sideline going, what he says. You were
I have nothing to do with this whatsoever.
Yeah.
Although I will admit that my wife's, the best Christmas present I've given my wife in the last 10 years is a rake of Dermot's hair serums, moisturizers, and she keeps looking at me going, I mean, you can just get me Dermot thing. I'm like, they're not available in stores. I have to convince him to actually make them.
Great, now I have to make another batch this Christmas.
Yes.
I would say that she probably prefers that to the bin, though.
You'd be surprised, Fiona. The bin hasn't arrived yet. If I can get the cosmetics in time, I'll pass them instead.
Yeah, have them as a backup, maybe.
I think that might be a good idea,
Lovely to talk to you. Have a wonderful weekend and an amazing Christmas if we don't talk to you again.
Many happy returns, lads. Good talking
to you. See you, Fiona.
Bye.
Bye. We were talking to Fiona in Cork there, whose 6-year-old daughter scraped a neighbour's white car with her bike. It was an accident, obviously. A lot of people suggesting Tipex is the solution for solving that problem. I don't think so.
No.
Although someone does say, get her to rub in some of Dermot's face cream into the scratch on the car. That should definitely work, says Greg the painter.
It might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it have
kind of off-white
paint restoring properties?
It can do everything else, Dave. Bronwyn says, guys, brand new car. There's only one option. Definitely she has to pay for fixing the car. Flowers and biscuits won't suffice.
Yeah.
And most of you saying that. Much as it pains me to say, I think she needs to offer to pay for the damage. It sucks, but it's the right thing to do.
Orla's in Dublin this morning. Hi, Orla.
Good morning, lads.
What do you think Fiona should do?
I pay for the damage, I think.
Right.
It happened to me a couple of weeks ago in Tesco car park.
Were you the aggressor or the aggrieved?
I was the aggressor, unfortunately.
Oh, no, you were the scraper.
It was a scraper, yeah. And my car is white and this car was red. Just in my defense, I was very flustered when it happened. I was after loading up my shopping on the car, in Tesco, and discovered I had no card to pay for.
Oh.
So I put all my shopping back, so I was really flustered, and I was like, oh my God. So I was pulling out of the space, and the spaces are very narrow anyway. And next thing I heard, this grinding along the side of the car. Oh God. Got out of the car and looked and thought, oh God. Oh God, and it was red, like a red, and it was the front bumper. So I took there was nobody, like, obviously the car was empty, so I went into Tesco customer service with the reg number, and they asked me to call the person, because obviously I wasn't going to drive off and leave it. But there was nobody, like, at least about 10 minutes, and there was nobody coming up to customer service. So So I got a piece of paper and I wrote my number on it. And I said, I'm really sorry, I have to refuse to write your card. These are my details. Give me a call and, you know, we'll sort it out. And just as I was about to leave the note under the wiper, this woman arrived on with her friend. And I said, is this your car? And I was like shaking. I was like literally shaking out.
Someone's after driving into it. they just drove off. I tried to stop them.
I know. Someone even said that. I'm really sorry. And she looked at me like a lovely shiny red car and a white scrape down my front bumper. I said, I'm really sorry, really sorry. I said, it's all right. Nobody died. It's all right. Don't worry about it. The kitty fixed. I was like, look, you know, I pay for it. No problem. Whatever.
Oh, you said you'd pay for it?
Yeah, I said I'd pay for it. And I did, yeah. I said,
did she
no problem.
Gratefully accept?
Yeah, she's very, very nice, very lovely lady, and she actually rang me later on that day, and she said, love, I'm just wondering, are you okay? You were very upset. I said, of course you're very upset. And she said, look, I really appreciate you, you know, your honesty. And
she was just checking you gave her the right number.
Sorry, who is this?
Orla, well, fair play, you did the right thing anyway, you certainly weren't running away from it, and she obviously was delighted that you offered.
She was a lovely lady, and I met her actually just there last week, you know, just to fix up for what she paid to get her car resprayed. And I said to her, you know, I said, I'd love to have met you in different circumstances, you know, because she was so nice, and we had a great chat. And she, would you believe, after, you know, she went into her car and gave me a bottle of wine and a card to say thank you for your honesty.
Ah, that is nice.
Oh, that's so sweet, like.
Obviously,
really,
the bottle of wine and the card weren't as much as the cost to respray the car, because that would be false economy.
No, but she was lovely. She was really, really nice. And I just felt like I'd done the right thing.
Yeah, it does. And I think nice people get nice things. Like, if you had tried to run away, you probably would have been met with some angry someone shouting at you, whatever, and
then
that you were nice.
Anyway. Like, a lot of people that you would meet might be really angry about the fact that you scraped their car. Mm. So you were lucky that you met a really nice one.
And how much does it cost?
€300.
Wow.
Ouch. Well, yeah. It has to be done, as you said. It's the right thing to do.
Ah, well, look, it could have been worse, you know. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I mean, it happened to me years ago when I had an old banger of a car, but somebody like badly dented the side of my car. And you know, a banger,
yeah.
But it cost a bit to, like, you know, get panel out and whatever.
Absolutely.
But I had to take the hit, and I wouldn't do that to somebody.
Did you ever go back and get the shopping after you forgot your credit card?
I did, yeah.
Good, you're not hungry then, that's the main thing.
Yeah, no, and you know, the main thing was the wine. You know, I had to put back all the wine.
Because it was the Christmas
for
wine.
40 Dean.
Orla, fair play to you for your honesty.
No,
go on. Yeah. See you later.
Bye. Take
bye
care.
Bye.
Happy Christmas.
Bye. Bye. Lots of people tell these kind of stories. When my sister was four herself, and my neighbor wrote four with stones in the paint all around my parents' new car. That did happen. I don't know if it still happens now. I have kids that have never gone near my car. Thank God.
I would say it absolutely happens.
Oh, Jesus.
Kids are drawn. It's just a canvas on wheels, basically, to a lot of kids.
We were also talking to Fiona this morning in Cork, whose daughter is six and she's learning to cycle, and she had a little bit of an accident and crashed into a neighbour's car and scraped it with the handle of her bike, and she brought them biscuits and kind of went, sorry, but is wondering, is that enough or does she need to do more? Most people are saying you do need to do a little bit more. It's fair to offer to pay for the car, says Thomas. But at the end of the day, it was an accident from a small child. It's not the end of the world. It's not, but people do pride their cars. You know, they really want them looking pristine and all the rest of them.
Just
quite
knowing
difficult.
There's a scratch. Sometimes it's enough to keep you awake at night.
Michael's in Meath.
I had a 04 black Renault Megane, and my kids and their friends all wrote their name all over the car with stones.
Oh, there's a lot of that coming in, I'll be honest with you.
Stephen in Tipp says, lads, I caught my 3-year-old pelting mud balls at my van. When I challenged her, she said, sure, it's only the passenger door. You don't use that side. Which seems quite eloquent for a 3-year-old, but we'll take your word for it, Stephen.
Caroline's in Cork.
Hi, Dermot and Dave. It's Caroline in Cork. Mine isn't car related, but my son did cut a ball through a window in a house that is up for sale in our estate. And oh, sure, I had to pay to get the window replaced. Sure, I'd have had absolutely no luck if I didn't, and it would have been on my conscience as well. So I think that lady definitely has to pay for that damage needs to be repaired. Happy Christmas, lads. Love listening to you. Bye.
Go on, Caroline. And Yvonne has one hell of a story for you.
I have a friend and his car wasn't scraped, but what happened was he had a girl that he used to meet up with every now and again, and she was looking for him late one Saturday night, and she went to his house, and his parents, he lived with his parents, but he wouldn't answer the door to her. So what she did was she drew pictures of basically men's c**ks all over the car. And his parents got up the next morning and went to mass, and people were waving at them, and they didn't know why they were waving, so they went to mass, and so when they got home they realised she had literally drawn c**ks all over their car.
I'd say the priest had the whole family in confession for a year after that one.
So cruel. We're still getting lots of text messages in, lots of WhatsApps in about scraping cars, and we were talking to Fiona this morning whose daughter scraped the neighbour's car, and she hoped that a bit of biscuits would just take the pain away, but everyone seems to think she should actually offer to pay for it.
Depends what the biscuits were. If they were toffee pops, maybe that's even.
I was going to say, like, you're not going something like a super thick box of Foxes or something. Like, toffee pops are €1.
I know, but they're pretty special.
They are.
Although now you've mentioned the Foxes ones, I can't get them out of my head.
Eileen is on the phone from Limerick. Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
Now, you didn't scrape a car.
No, not slightly.
What happened?
To start the story, I suppose, my husband took, last Stephen's Day last year, my husband took our third guy off to a soccer match that he was playing. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, great opportunity. I will slip downtown, do a little sneaky Christmas shopping in the sales, and have it hidden by the time my husband comes back.
Very good.
But little did I know it was going to turn into a disaster. I slipped downtown, drove into a multi-story car park, parked the car, went off to do the shopping, and I got a phone call from my husband as I was on my way back to the car. And I was in the car park when he came back, or rang me.
Yeah.
But he said, Eileen, where are you? And I said, I'm at home, why? And he said, I'm after getting a call from the guards. The car has been stolen, and it's been involved in a car accident. And I went, no, I'm actually downtown. I did a bit of Christmas shopping, and the car rolled down the up of the multi-story car park. Here's a car, clipped a car on its way down the up ramp and smashed into a wall.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So it was a little bit more expensive, and I don't think I got the discount that I was hoping for in the sale.
Oh, no. So hang on, because, like, when you get up the ramp, the car park levels are actually flat. So it must have had a slight incline to go back to the ramp.
I maintain that the stupid parking button was broken. I think it was faulty. I don't think it was my fault at all.
Oh, it wasn't your fault. No, bro, faulty handbrake. Definitely
So
that's what your husband tells the story that way as well, does he?
Yeah, but when I came back to the car park, very proud of my shopping, going, great, I'll hide these at home. He won't know any different. I got up to the level. I got off the lift, and I just walked out to the gun and I'm going, oh, where's my car? And I looked right down, and it had smashed into a wall.
Oh, my God.
So did you have to pay for the car, for the car it clipped, and repair of your own?
The girl that clipped the car, she was so nice. She was very, I was obviously a nervous wreck. But I'd stopped the whole car park from pulling up because they couldn't move the car, so nobody could go up any more levels. The whole car park had come to a standstill on Stephen's Day. It was one of the shopping day. But the girl was really nice, in fairness to her. She said her car, I didn't even meet her, she was gone.
She was so nice, she was gone.
He just did a runner.
And are you and the husband still together?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we got the car fixed, but then, of course, then over the summer, I don't think I should be driving at all. Over the summer, the front of the car, I hit a low wall.
Did you know, yeah.
So I just evened out the back bumper and the front bumper.
Yeah, and obviously it was the wall's fault. Oh.
It was the wall, it jumped out at me.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, those expanding walls are awful.
Eileen, fair play to you. Oh, that's fair play to you. Fair play to your husband.
Yeah, I tell you what, would he like a Dermot and Dave cheese in Ashley Lucas netted t-shirt?
Absolutely, I'd say he would.
Yeah, sounds like you need to earn some brownie points this Christmas.
You can wear it to work.
We'll send one to you.
Super.
All right, perfect. Eileen, happy Christmas.
Thanks so
Drive
much.
Drive safely. Bye.
Bye.
Taste of that is the music.
Taste of that is the music.
Taste of that is the music. Kind of does what it says in the tin. I'm Dave. I'm going to play music to Dermot there. He's never heard the piece of music before, and his job is to say stuff that suits the music off the top of his head.
Let's give it a lash. A bustling hive of activity. A melting pot of Asian culture. With strange foods. Wonderful warm nationalities. And different languages. Yes, join me on my tour of... No, not Asia, Parnell Street. Dear Diary, I arrived to my new home today, but I knew I wasn't really wanted. Everyone complained about me and said I should never have been brought here. What was worse, I couldn't even fit through the door. They had to renovate the whole building just to get me in there. Signed, the 800 grand printer in government buildings. Ugh, I'm crying toner. Ugh. Wondering what to get your loved one for Christmas? Why not try something from one of those ads from the 1980s? Like a bottle of sherry. Everyone drank sherry. They were langered all the time on sherry. And why not choose from a range of cigars? Give cancer. It's perfect for Christmas. We don't have a website. Just look us up in that giant waste of space called the phone book. Ooh, look at you. God, you look so gorgeous. Mind if we sit down? yeah. Ooh, I'm going to peel off all your clothes. Mind if I lick your head? Oh, God, you're delicious.
Derek, is that my chocolate Santa?
What? I thought it was mine.
Oh.
Hello, and welcome to the 6-1 News with me, Brian Dobson. The paintings aren't the only things we're selling here to make some money at RTE. A white elephant stall is to take place outside, with all kinds of things being raffled off, such as Marty Morrissey's jockstrap and Anne Doyle's jockstrap. Good night.
Dermot and Dave.
Ever get a scratch card, Dave? You a scratch card kind
I'm
of guy?
I'm not a scratcher kind of guy. I occasionally get them in birthday cards from elderly relatives, and I go, oh yeah, these things. And I'm never winning.
Dave, I'm 3 years older than you. Less of the elderly. And I know we're like brothers, but we're actually not.
Yeah, friends.
I suppose I would be like many people, and I know that National Lottery have said that most of their purchases of scratch cards are impulse buys. So they're people at the till. Oh. You know, you're there, you're getting whatever, a Yorkie and thing, and you go, ah, sure, probably have a euro change. Yeah, go on, throw us on it. Although you get very few scratch cards for a euro now.
I used to work in a petrol station in Port Marnock, and obviously you deal with all the retail stuff, but one of them was the lottery, and there are people who are, it's not an impulse buy. There are people who come in every single day for 20 euros worth of scratch cards. Like,
what?
Yeah, this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s when I worked there. Like, it was like, £10 of scratch cards, £20 of scratch cards every day. And they'd even scratch them off at the till so they wouldn't have to go home and then come back if they won anything. So you'd have to deal with the reaction of them going, oh.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, no,
that
is very sad.
Proper gambling addiction. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you heard the news over the last 24 hours. The National Lottery have come out with their hands up saying, whoops, we made a mistake. And the four top prizes totaling €180,000 from three scratch card games have not basically been allocated. So you couldn't win the 180 grand's worth, even though it was advertised that these top prizes were on offer.
So if the scratch card said, like, hey, this is the congratulations scratch card and you can win up to €50,000 on this card instantly, you actually couldn't.
No, there were a couple of games where there were top prizes were missing, up to 50 grand, 30 grand. So basically the big one, they've come out and said it's human error, but amazing how the human managed to omit just the massive prizes.
Not
and,
the 2 euros.
Yeah, not the free scratch card that you get. They weren't left off, or the, you know, the hamper, the tin of roses or whatever. It was the 50 grand.
And how did they find out about the human error? They did some kind of internal review?
They did, and all of this is very suspicious. You know, you like, I think the most disgusting thing is that we as taxpayers are actually paying a regulator. Yes, there is someone with a team of people sitting in an office in Dublin whose sole job is to keep an eye on these kinds of things. And the National Lottery came out and told the regulator. So it was like, you know, when you're in school and you reckon you've just done something that you know you're going to get caught for. So you just, best to just run up to the teacher and say, I just set the toilet on fire. Yeah, that was me.
But hang on, though. Aren't they remedying the situation by giving away the 180 grand that they failed to give away in a draw in January?
Yeah, but that's fine if everyone who had bought the scratch cards is automatically in with a chance of winning. They are saying that you can have, there's going to be a special New Year's thing where the 180 grand will be given away in various forms of cash, prizes, all these kinds of different things.
Right.
But they're going to make literally hundreds of millions by advertising this prize money, which people were meant to have won with the last lot. So they're going to make a huge profit again off the fact that they messed up with the top prizes the last time round. So one of the main arguments going around is that they should be giving it to charity. And that actually raised an issue where I always presumed that unclaimed prizes went to local communities and good causes. But that was in the olden days, before they were bought out, before National Lottery, before we sold it, essentially.
Right.
So, but in the UK, unclaimed prizes all go to good causes. But now, when prizes are unclaimed, and apparently it's about 2% of unclaimed prizes, all that money from unclaimed prizes, instead of going to charities, actually goes back into the company, but they have to use it for marketing purposes. So it gets funneled back in to sell more cards where the top prizes aren't actually available, and then prizes that aren't claimed. So it's an absolute mess. And in the middle of it all, there's a regulator sitting there going, huh?
Hey.
I don't know. We had our Christmas party. I don't know.
I saw this coming. In 1993, I was hired to build the first set of National Lottery machines that had a pen scanner that would scan your barcode. There were two pieces. They were on a metal frame. Mm. I assembled all of those machines along with a few of my friends out in a warehouse in Lusk. And then they went...
The Vegas of North County Dublin.
They went and they plugged in the entire system, rolled it out nationally. They plugged it in, they turned it on, and all of them broke. And it was my fault. Basically, we assembled them wrong, and it was... The whole system came crashing down.
Maybe that was you. Were you working behind the scenes at this one? Were you the human error?
Oh, maybe I was. I'm so human
Dave
error.
Dave Human Error
know.
Moore. Do you ever buy scratch cards? Have you ever actually won anything decent on a scratch card? And maybe not even just the National Lottery ones. I would love to know, has anyone ever won anything on a Ryanair scratch card? Because whatever about the National Lottery, when those lads come down, and even this air stewards are kind of laughing, going, there's no chance. You're never going to win it.
And we're joined every Thursday around this time by a lady who sells chocolate out of a pram outside Thomond Park in Limerick.
A lady. Yes, that's a first, Kate.
Noni, happy Christmas.
Many happy returns to yourself, Kate.
How are you getting on?
I get on great, you know. Very excited.
Yeah, what's happening?
I'm going for a Christmas number one.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and then I'm going to do Christmas number two. Gonna be eating a lot of chocolate.
I'd say you are, in fairness.
But listen, I'm gonna bang out the tune and tell Simon Cowell, if he's listening, I'm ready for business. I'm opened.
You've got a Noni Christmas on.
Absolutely. I'm gonna blow it out of the water. Forget X Factor.
Right, are you ready to
forget
go?
Forget X rays. Forget X boyfriends, girlfriends, the whole thing.
What about X rated?
It's all about now. The X-rated version will be out later.
Okay, you ready to give it a
you
shot?
You'll see a petticoat or two, I tell you. All right, let's do it. Head it down my straw.
Oh, nice.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the poxy tree. I just need it for my pram. Wrapped or knotted, I'll give a damn. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is chocolate. Wait a cake!
Go on, no, to give it sucks. Here we go.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Don't want a voucher for Donkey Ford. Don't even want a second-hand jockstrap from little Conor Murray or little Kate Dawes. When I see my laddered stocking hanging off the fireplace, it better be full of what I need to put a smile across my face. Yeah. I don't need a fancy Nokia phone, no, or a two-week trip to Gary Owen. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is chocolate.
Why chocolate? Give it to me, kid.
Go on, Lodi.
The chicken heart snack box is gleaming. There's gravy everywhere. Paula Connolly's pulling crackers, but I don't even care. I'm not telling Porkies. I'm dreaming of a bag of f***ing Yorkies. Santa Claus, don't be acting the gold. Bring me a pram full of chocolate now. This is what I want for Christmas. Air of Crunchy Flake and Mars. Toblerones and Dairy Milks. And a Twix the size of Torment Path. I went to Mass, I swear I did. Yeah. Santa Claus, a boy and a kid. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is chocolate.
Oh, buy the cake.
Yes, Lonnie. Happy Christmas, Lonnie.
Thanks very much. Buy it. Number one for Christmas cake.
Pass a pronunciation test for radio, so...
Well, you don't have the power to sack me. Only Maria has the power to sack me, and she's not here today.
She's not on.
She's at home with baby Rian.
I've sent her a WhatsApp. She hasn't responded to my demands to have you sacked, so we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Sinead is on the line. Sinead, it's Dermot here. What's the problem?
Hi, Dermot. How you doing?
Good.
What's the problem? Well, I did your dishwasher hack.
Oh, good.
Sinead.
Excellent. Did you save a fortune on dishwasher tablets, which are so overpriced?
I did, but I actually did it more from my own. I would actually be more in line with what Dave was talking about in terms of shopping around for the cheaper dishwasher tablets.
They're always on special. You'll find them somewhere.
We always, so we've got great fun in our house trying to find them. I actually found a pack of 10 for 89 cents there recently.
Good God! Are they legit? They sound dodgy.
I swear to God, that was after the using the teaspoon of fairy liquid in the dishwasher.
So, yeah, so what happened?
Yeah, so I was home at lunchtime and I just decided out of spirit of curiosity to give it a go. And I did put in exactly, actually probably slightly less than a teaspoon, because I actually paid attention in that when I was pouring it in, I didn't wait for the whole thing to drip out. So there was a little left in the bottom of the measuring spoon, and put it on, sitting eating my lunch. Next thing I noticed, the suds was coming out all over the floor.
Now, Sinead, I must point out, this can happen.
Oh, really? You didn't mention that. And of course, I just decided I'd put it up on Facebook, and the amount of smart ass comments I got, did you not know any better? And so anyway, I soaped away, I put a towel on it to kind of get rid of some of the suds, and then I figured, you know what, I'd actually like to see what would happen here, so I took the towel away and just let it build up to see how much it would
the picture, because I saw the picture, Sinead, there was a lot of suds, it wasn't a little dribble of suds.
No, that was actually the back end of it. There was more than before, because that was after I took the towel away, because when it initially came out I got a fright and I was like, oh Christ,
so I better cover this quickly.
Yeah, but look how much entertainment this gave you.
Oh,
you know,
I did. And my daughter, my 14-year-old, when she came home, she was pretty disgusted. Because we cannot leave you in the house on your own. I can't believe you did that.
I must admit, I do feel very little sympathy for you because, simple fact, you listened to Dermot. Like, come on. I mean,
this is true.
I just got to say, I'm getting nothing but positive feedback online about my hack. Yeah. People saying, you know, that it's working every day. They say some people have saved up to 10,000 euro.
Now, I know you are lying. Yeah. I know this is all about listenership, but you are lying.
The people who are eating the dishwasher tablets and hallucinating.
The dishes were squeaky clean, but there was some.
Okay, we'll just try a little bit less
than a teaspoon.
No, actually, hang on.
No, you said a teaspoon. Did you?
Did you follow all my rules? How long of a wash did you put it on for?
The normal cycle.
Yeah, you see, I said short cycle.
Quick wash.
I didn't hear that bit.
Quick wash. Made your mistake. You didn't follow my hack.
Don't listen to Dermot. Everybody.
That's the selective listening, obviously.
Sinead, fair play to you.
You people, you hear what you want to hear. You know, I can't be held responsible.
Sinead, I would suggest you never try anything that Dermot and Dave suggest ever again, and just keep listening.
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Do you know what we'll do, right? To make up for the fact that we probably ruined the tiles in your kitchen, we'll send you out an Asher Look It Isn't That a t-shirt.
So you can mop up all the suds the next time.
Thank you. Take care, lads. Bye-bye.
There's Sinead.
Another happy customer.
Okay, can you, I don't know why I'm encouraging this. Can you give everybody your hack that you say works, but yet we're seeing proof all around the country that doesn't, but this is what you say.
To avoid ever buying dishwasher tablets again, right? Because we're never convinced they actually do what they're meant to do and they look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you never bought another one, wouldn't that be great for the environment? So, I'm saving the world here. You get no more than a teaspoon of fairy liquid. Has to be the good stuff. Fairy washing up liquid. No more than a teaspoon. Even half a teaspoon will do you. Put it in, but put it on the quick wash. I have a 30-minute wash on my dishwasher. I'd use that. Right. Okay? Put it on. And suds shouldn't come out of your dishwasher.
Oh God, so someone, I did that in a holiday home years ago on my sister-in-law's hen. Wrecked the place. And someone else says, Dave, don't knock your tips. The one about the cat litter in a sock to reduce fog buildup in the car actually works. That does work. If you do have an older car that steams up on those particularly just cold, damp mornings, get kitty litter in a pet shop, put it in a sock, and then put in the other sock of the pair over it, and it sucks the moisture out of the air.
The difference is here, this is Dave, that was Dave's advice, that generally works.
Yeah, Dermot's.
But look, all I would say is, if you use the washing up liquid dishwasher hack, and your kitchen fills with suds, perfect decoration for Christmas. It looks like snow.
It's Santa's beard has fallen off. Someone else says, lads, the dishwasher hack was, in capital letters, crap. Fact.
No. I'm getting, as I say, just thousands of letters and emails to say how great it has worked.
Has Dermot been replaced by Donald Trump? He'll be shouting fake news next. Yeah, he definitely will.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.